Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County, not just wine country, but farm country. And speaking of really good parking lots, I met this next couple in a parking lot. I mean, it happens to be around their tiny little establishment that at one time was a bus drop-off depot and is now one of my favorite places in Sonoma County. Welcome to At the Table, Jason Sakesh and Dahlia Martinez.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us.
Thanks
so much.
I should say to everyone that their place that I love so much is called Naked Pig. Okay, Dahlia, let's start right there. Why is it called Naked Pig?
It's called Naked Pig because it just was a name that everybody that we asked, do you like this name, said, I love this name. They were laughing. Little children especially are very, very entertained by the name. And it refers simply to brunch. And we do a really great brunch based on local pasture-raised pig.
I love that. Jason, did you paint that building that wonderful French blue? And it looks like somebody with a lot of practice on a chalkboard painted the name on the side. How did you guys put that together? Because it doesn't have a hood. It doesn't have a formal kitchen.
Yeah. We actually did a volunteer day. We had all of our friends come out. My mom came out. Dahlia's mom and dad came out. And we painted the whole thing. And then Dahlia's sister designed the logo, basically, but on a small piece of paper. And then we printed them out on each letter about 3 feet long. And then we use that as a stencil. And then we traced it. And then we did the whole thing.
Yeah, talk about loving hands, but also a family project. I love that. I mean, I have a column. I write for Forbes.com, but I started it by having a column in Forbes, the magazine, called Napkin Notes that was based on stuff that I was screaming through my pen onto a beverage napkin while I was sitting in a bar, you know, complaining about the world. These things that are done really hands-on. Dahlia, how did you guys get involved in food?
Well, I think that we were always eating food that was really delicious. I was always eating food that was really delicious. My mother is an amazing, inspirational cook, inspirational person. So she just developed a palate, and then I just shared that with Jason, and we were just always eating.
where'd you grow up, Dahlia?
Here in Santa Rosa in the JC neighborhood, just a block down from our new restaurant.
So it's really a hometown kind of thing. Where did you grow up, Jason?
I grew up kind of a lot of places, but we'll call Santa Rosa as my main.
Okay. Man of mystery.
Really,
tell us the other places. If any of them were Russia, don't tell me.
No, actually,
former Russia occupied territories, for sure.
Exactly. The Russian River. Did you grow up with food in your family?
Of course I have food in my family. That's how I made it to this ripe age of 33. But
see, it's very important for people to understand that, you know, people talk about having food in their family, but even if it's gruel, it gets you through, right?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on, Pop-Tarts and cereal and things like that. So I had a totally different upbringing than Dahlia. But I think that over the time of being with her, I started to appreciate what good food was and what flavors are and what that does to your body overall.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're both very healthy and fit people. I mean, does that fit into all this? But we're talking to Dahlia and Jason from Naked Pig, and we're going to talk about their new restaurant, Flower and Bone, in just a moment. But I wanted to get to the bottom of this. I mean, my mom came to this country when she was 12. She was a concert pianist, very talented, a lot in the decorative arts. She painted, some of her paintings are quite wonderful, and some of her collages were truly frightening. But they were made out of twigs and, you know, moss and, I don't know, hair that fell off my dad. I don't know. Who knows what? We would look at some of these things and just go, Mom, it's really creative, you know?
Yeah.
But when it comes to food, it is about benchmarks, isn't it? I mean, you don't have a lot of different items on that menu, partly because there is no formal hot hood the way many kitchens do. You do eggs in a poacher, one of those plug-in poachers?
No, we bake the egg.
It's
a very difficult process to do that. It takes 6 minutes, and I know that the boiled, soft-boiled 6-minute egg is very renowned for its texture, and that's what we achieve in the oven with the baked egg.
And what kind of an oven?
It's just a regular electric convection oven.
No, folks, convection means that it blows the air all around, and so it's very even.
Yeah.
Unlike your stove at home, which
or
the side, depending on what kind who made it. And Jason, how did you get that little menu together? Because it's just churse, as we say in New Jersey.
Well, I think that I think, and Dahlia can answer more to this, but what we have learned starting off doing pop-up dinners in San Francisco, then moving to Santa Rosa and doing farmers markets, breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
We met you.
That's right.
We cooked for over 80 people on a two-burner cast iron stove in a 10 by 10 tent. So then when we moved into the Naked Pig, which is only 300 square feet,
it felt like a kingdom.
And so what we learned is that you can actually have an enormous production out of that. And Dolly was changing the menu twice a week, actually, when we first open.
Ouch.
And so now she changes it every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it helps the staff like really grip on and customers be able to come back for that thing that they just tried.
I was going to say, you know, it's such an interesting process. If you're listening to this and you've had a fantasy of having your own restaurant, that which by the way includes every single person listening to this and everybody else who
isn't listening.
Oh my gosh, exactly. But the idea that you started at a farmer's market, which is where I met you, and I said, what is this food? This is delicious. Which market was it? I can't remember now.
That was out at the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts.
Yeah, that's the Santa Rosa Original Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
That's the one that helped 40 years ago when it started. It had a mission to help other people in other farmer's markets all over the community, not just in Santa Rosa, but all over the Bay Area, and as a benchmark for the whole world. And here it launched you guys.
Yeah.
And then you saw this former bus depot.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
we didn't see it, honestly. It kind of, we passed it so many times. It was such an ugly duckling.
I was going to say that color, you painted it greyhound blue? Is that what that is?
Well, originally it was
Newport blue is the name.
It was a strange brown color when we first found it, and inside was orange and multicolored beige, and had this huge wall in there because someone was gonna put in a gold and metal dealership,
and so there was a huge
4-inch thick window in there. It was funny, but I think we did a good job.
I think you did an amazing job, and people gather around the outside, and you're at the beginning of a district that has become known as the South A. And I call it the South A Eat and Art District.
Totally.
I mean, that's what it's become because, I mean, Las Palmas is in the same kind of center, and across the street is Dirk's Parkside Diner.
Yeah.
And then Criminal Bakery, and then the Wedding Cake Shop, and then Avalo, which they're raised beds of organic produce, and then Spinster Sisters.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? And then all these galleries.
Atlas Coffee.
I mean, all these different people gathering in this kind of agriculturally urban area.
Totally.
Sure.
How's that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Meaning, to describe Santa Rosa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think
a good way to
agriculturally
describe it.
Urban?
Yeah, yeah. And our intention is to culturally urbanize rather than just urbanize with structure and with a lot of money and a lot of building. Not to diss this necessarily, but to offer something with more flavor. For us, it's just really important to urbanize with a cultural aspect as our goal.
You know, that's Dalia Martinez, and she's here with Jason Sakash, and they have Naked Pig and Flower and Bone in Santa Rosa, California. At Naked Pig, I brought a couple of people there, and they looked at it, and they this seems like kind of a lot of money for like an avocado toast. And then they eat and stop and look at me and say, I'll give them $2 more.
Yeah.
I mean, because people don't seem to understand that when you cook real food, first of all, the prices are not expensive.
No.
And what you end up spending is a very reasonable number. So I want to get that clear right away.
Thank you. That's
but
very fair.
But by the same token, I have learned, for example, if you go into a restaurant and a steak is $9.95, folks, don't eat it.
Right.
Who knows if it's your left shoe or right shoe they're cooking?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
the bills at the hospital.
Not good. Not good.
No.
But here, even in farm country, and tell us about, Jason, where do you get the ingredients for all this? Because this tastes like it came from somebody who grew it out back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that I tell everybody it's probably broken down. 75% comes directly from local farmers of Sonoma County. And then about 15% comes directly from our garden.
Oh, where's that? Where is it?
That's in
that's the JC
neighborhood.
So you're growing in your own garden around the corner, down the block.
Oh, and we've been doing it since the farmer's market. So we actually have specific seeds that we've sort of hybridized and saved to go with the menu.
Do you mind telling us what a couple of varieties?
Like Borge, for example,
Borge,
which is a wonderful
Borge.
Flower. We also use the leaf.
Yeah.
That's something that we got from Les, who's a salad, specifically salad grower.
Yeah.
And he just does one market a week, and he has the best salad you've had in the world. And he had these Borge flowers, and he shared the seeds, and we've been collecting and replanting year after year. And everything, everything has that story. Every single plant that we got it from, you know, wild harvested from a river, and we brought it home, and we've been plant, you know, using it at Basote or wild radish.
The one thing that I wanted to say, that the last other 10%, which I think is the most beautiful aspect of it, is the contribution from the neighbors. So we get so many people that come in and that have become customers that go, hey, I have this, would you like to use it? And then we have developed trade systems with these people. And so we get people from, yes, the SOFA district, the all over Petaluma, the JC neighborhood, and they're coming with Meyer lemons, or they're coming with a whole bunch of kale, or they're coming in with raspberries. Yeah.
And so that's later, really, and later in the summer, folks, they're going to come in with so much zucchini.
that happens too.
Right, and a truckload of tomatoes.
And you're going to get used.
They're going to get used. I mean, you know, the things you have to drink, right, you can pickle practically everything.
We are talking
to people who have embraced the notion of a naked pig and of real community growing and sharing and eating and farming. And when we get back, we're going to talk about your new restaurant, Flower and Bone, which is downtown Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
I mean, and not far from the new town plaza. I expect you'll be offering to plant herbs and other edibles.
That would be really awesome.
If you're listening, really cool. City Council, these are your seed mongers.
That would be awesome. I love that idea.
All right, we'll be right back at the table. And we are back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I am here with Jason Sakash and Dahlia Martinez. They own a wonderful place kind of in the center of a parking lot by the side of the road. It's a lovely blue, and it's called Naked Pig. I think from what you were telling me before, it used to be a UPS store on steroids. I mean, that's what that, right? Brown and orange and, you know,
like
all these.
Like mini-me, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little mini-me. But it turns out that you don't have to have a hood, and you don't have to spend $1.5 million to open a restaurant.
No.
Folks, all you have to do is start with a 10x10 stall at a farmer's market, and 300 square feet with a roof seems really luxurious, right? Mm-hmm. You started there at Naked Pig. Now you have a new restaurant that's, I think, thoughtfully open only 5 nights a week, right?
It's open 3 nights a week.
Oh, three right nights now. A week. Yeah. All right. Talk about down to a nub. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wait a second.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when you want to go out for dinner.
All right. Exactly. And when you have been able to harvest. It's called Flower and Bone. It's on 5th Street in Santa Rosa downtown.
Yeah.
Why Flower and Bone?
Oh, it's. I think Flower and Bone is kind of one of those things that's like serendipity, because a neighbor and friend of ours said, hey, I've got this old coffee table, and it just really reminds me of you guys because it's totally Flower and Bone. And at our house, we just had so many flowers and bones because I collect them, and then I use them in the food at the pig. And it had a good ring to it. And so it just kind of came back when that space started to get created.
I was there last night really briefly for just a couple of tastes because I wanted to kind of say howdy, and you were kind enough to invite me over. And all three dishes had either a flower or a bone, you know, in some cases, both. I mean, I don't know.
Because those are these basic elements of food, really. And I think that's why they adorn our house and our life all the time. Because, you know, when you're really cooking for the ingredients, then you're using and respecting the whole life cycle of the plant, and you're producing a lot of flowers.
Yeah.
You're respecting the bones, and you're making sure you're not throwing that to the landfill, and you're making good stocks, which are like beauty treatments for the body. And
it's a little bit like nose to tail, but in all of nature.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about flower to bone, I mean, ashes to ashes is not as appealing. Jason,
it's kind of like the beginning and the end.
Yeah, all the way through.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
The place is very... kind of warmly rustic. It feels like somebody's big kitchen.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
The way it kind of happened is we got in there and we saw that it had really beautiful old bones, but it had some modern elements to it that was kind of throwing everything off. So we kind of pulled all that out and it exposed this beautiful building.
Yeah.
And then a gentleman by the name of Rich Colombini, who has a long history of doing carpentry in Santa Rosa back into the beginning of this 1900s, he brought a lot of warmth and antiquity to it, where I mean
he was taking on all the weird odd projects salvage things.
Oh yeah, we have a ladder in there on our display shelf that his grandfather built like 60 years ago.
There are stacks of plates along the back in the back area room. There are stacks that remind me of my kitchen. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, and you have this amazing grocery hutch in your pantry your kitchen is open and people can see kind of over into it. They don't see the floor, your feet, or the fact that Jason was wearing shorts, you know, sensible shoes, because he walks out from the kitchen and delivers them. Now, I love when somebody's cooking and then the next thing we know, they're at the table handing you the plate of food that they made. Yeah. I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
But I was looking and I was talking to Dahlia and I looked down the kind of walkway to the dishwash station and there was this amazing pine. It looked like it was Eastern European. It looked like it was made in the Czech Republic or someplace.
Yeah.
And it looks like my Mexican hutch in my little cabin in the woods,
yes.
Where it's got open shelves and drawers and cabinets.
It's totally useful.
It's totally, right. Yeah.
It was a grocer's shelf in England, and it was actually brought over here, and it's gone through a number of families. And we picked it up, and we're restoring it with its sort of original commercial purpose.
Yeah,
which is most commercial kitchens don't have drawers.
Oh my gosh, they don't.
But
they have lugs, right?
They
have, you know, those plastic lugs that you put dirty dishes into,
sure.
And they never have drawers, right? I'm always designing kitchens with drawers.
You got to categorize stuff.
You got to put stuff someplace. Yeah. But you also have walls and walls of jars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So a lot. A huge part of the concept that Dahlia has created is preserve-centric menus. And so we take, you know, all of the fruits and vegetables of Sonoma County, and then we preserve them. Yeah. Some people say pickling. Pickling is a different concept. We preserve them, and we call them jarring because we put them in actual jars. But what we learned is that a 10-foot by 10-foot display shelf still isn't enough. Because
it's not.
Yeah, so you have that filled, but then you also have to have all your empty jars. So we have another 10 by 10 in the back of the restaurant that holds the empty jars.
Well, you know, we call it putting up foods, right? I mean, because some of it is pickling, but it's about preserving food in a jar. They call it canning. But it's really jarring.
It's jarring.
Right? It's not called a Bell can. It's a Bell jar.
I've never used it.
We're talking to Dahlia Martinez and Jason Sakash of Flower and Bone now, which is their new restaurant in Santa Rosa, downtown on Fifth Street, not far from the newly reconnected town square. Sure. I mean, so people will be able to walk over. You're only open 3 nights a week. And that's so that you can do a good job and have the Naked Pig too and grow the stuff. And are you at 3 farmers markets as well?
I think it's well put. It's so that we can maintain the Naked Pig and we can, do our very best.
Yeah.
And we are sort of growing. We've been growing since October, and we expect that by April we'll be doing brunch and we'll be open for more dinner. So
got it. You're growing it naturally and gently without kind of leaping into the fray.
We want everyone to be happy and have a really good time, and we understand that that means that everybody has to be well rested.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that means it's the hospitality business, not just the restaurant and fling a drink at me
it's
business.
The production.
It's the experience, and I notice. I mean, every one of the people who works at both places is in a good mood.
Yeah.
I mean that has to do with you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Borage, of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think with the Naked Pig, we started off. You know, we were just eager, and we just got into it and just started selling food that we thought that people were gonna enjoy, and it was Dahlia's brother, me, and her. And then, you know, next thing you know, we found out people do really appreciate it, and we went from 3 people working there to 9-10 people, and it was a very quick growth. So now with that experience, we're going, okay, so let's into the new restaurant, let's have a more sustainable growth. We know the past, and so we want to learn from it. So then we're gonna make sure that we have a solid team, that we have a solid foundation. And so then when, you know, once we start getting busier, we're gonna be ready for all that.
You know, it's so interesting about all this, because I'm a restaurant consultant and I've been doing it for a lot of years. Right now, all over the country, people are desperate to find people to work for them.
Yeah.
And yet you're offering something that people only pretend to offer. Mm-hmm. You're offering people a real relationship with a business and with people that they can feel good about, not just for the 3 months that you're the new hotspot. Yeah. I can see people wanting to be, I mean, I know people who spent 25 years at Zuni Cafe in San Francisco because that was the kind of restaurant job they wanted. Mm-hmm. Right. Not another hot restaurant that then turns into a grind after 6 months where you're just trying to pump it out and make as much as you can. You know what I mean? At all. So the Naked Pig is open. Tell us when it's open and exactly the address and the website.
The Naked Pig is open Wednesday through Sunday, 8 to 3. We do brunch all day on all days that we are open.
And folks, it's, you know, brunch means breakfasty lunch or a lunchy breakfast. It's, you know,
baked eggs kind of on anything you want and, you
and
know,
waffles.
And just kind of.
And bacon.
Amazing.
But baked bacon, right?
Yeah. Everything is baked. Sort of baked at some point in the process. But
we not half baked, folks. Yeah. This is fully baked.
Some might be half baked, and then they get fully baked once they've eaten.
What's the address?
The address is 435 Santa Rosa Avenue.
And what's the website?
And the website is thenakedpig.com.
Thenakedpig.com. Yeah. We are then going to go to the evening with Flower and Bone in downtown Santa Rosa, California, in the middle of what Luther Burbank called the Eden of all the earth as far as food is concerned, and possibly restaurants at the table. Welcome back to At the Table. I am Clark Wolf, and I'm here with Jason Sakash and Dahlia Martinez. They are the owners of Naked Pig, which is a very special blue box on the corner of Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa Avenue.
Sebastopol Avenue.
Yeah, right. It's right
sofa
at the sofa
di-
the top of the New Arts and Eat District, as I like to call it. But you have a new restaurant in downtown Santa Rosa. It's called Flower and Bone. What's the address? Let's get that out of the way right now. And what's the website?
Address is 640 Fifth Street in downtown Santa Rosa. And email address. I'll give you my personal email address.
Yeah. And if you'd like him to pick up your laundry, he'll stop on the way home.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Flowerandbonerestaurant.com.
I like that. Flower and Bone Restaurant. We don't, you know, because Flower and Bone could be a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. It could be a really interesting hairdo.
Yeah.
Right? Or a possible celebration for many peoples around the earth.
Yeah.
Right? But in your case, it's just wonderful food made from local ingredients. And I have to say, I only had three dishes. But when I eat something, I want there to be a familiarity because this is not a quiz. You know what I mean? It's dinner. Mm-hmm. And my body has been trained carefully over millennia to reject anything that's really not a good idea for the human body. So a lot of chefs make the mistake of wanting to surprise you every time. I don't want to be surprised. I want to be delighted. I want to be satisfied. And I want to be pleased. And I mean, you made a quail stroganoff. What a great idea. The pasta was delicious. The sour cream or the what was your own. I mean, you soured it yourself, right? It, not just by talking mean to it, but you allowed it to naturally ferment, right? And cook warm. And then the quail, it was the bone that I got to hold. You know, I always feel like a little tiny Henry VIII. You didn't throw it over my shoulder and said, I'm the king of England. Anyway.
That's what we want.
What is it? That's exactly, I'm sure it is. You want everybody to come in with a crown. What was the origin of that dish and the other dishes that we see on your menu all the time?
So this menu that you got to experience, you kind of got to experience a couple of base points to the actual story. So it was a tasting menu. You got to taste three dishes off of the tasting menu. The first dish that you had was a spring salad of sorts with asparagus, our house cheese, and just a little bit of citrus and brown butter.
Our house cheese, which is a paneer,
which is a very
simple.
Yeah, like a ricotta.
It's a homemade cheese that has a lot of history and is easy for people to make. Yeah. But when you make it from good milk in your kitchen, it's extraordinary. And there were some crunchy, you had breadcrumbs in there.
There were some breadcrumbs on there. There's a little bit of wild fennel and wild mustard, as well as the wild mustard pods, which I really like for the explosive mustard flavor.
Yeah, that's a boom. And you know, folks, mustard seeds themselves don't actually have any flavor until they're touched with liquid. Mm-hmm. They're benign until they hit liquid and then things start to happen.
Yeah.
The thing I love about mustard, especially in wine country and farm country, is that in January, February, March, depending on global warming, all of the naked vineyards are swept underneath with this golden carpet of mustard flower that the Spanish planted there not to bring nutrients to the soil. They didn't know from nutrients for the soil. It was to make sure that nobody got too depressed during the winter. Do you love that? I mean, how great is that?
And we'll cheer you. It works.
And it works. And it's delicious. And people don't realize, you say wild mustard, but mustard is really naturally growing in a lot of places, right? It goes like crazy. And wild fennel, folks, by the side of the road.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, don't get the stuff that, you know, where the dogs are being walked and lifting a leg.
There's but enough of it.
There's plenty.
There's Creek clean beds, places where this
And the asparagus, where's that from?
The asparagus is from Laguna Farm.
There are, oh, my
you
gosh,
probably
yes.
know Ignacio, and we met him. We started our relationship with him at the farmer's market. And he's just an incredibly solid farmer of Sonoma County that has a gorgeous ecosystem, really. Eco world.
It's
the
a new
Laguna.
TV show on FX this week. Welcome to Laguna Farms.
He would
Farms.
Probably sign on to that.
He would probably star like crazy. Anyway, and the asparagus and all of that. What I loved about it is that sometimes, you know, you want to roll things around or you think, where does this go? It was a very easy to eat salad, It wasn't. I mean, we think of salad as greens,
sure.
right? Well, the asparagus were green.
Yeah.
It was a first course spring in your mouth.
Exactly.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, and a little crunch from the bread, but delicious. And then what did I have?
And then you had something that represents our core flavors.
Those are the core flavors of the universe. Those chicken wings were nuts. First of all, they were crispy and they were crunchy and they had all this glaze on them, but you could taste the chicken.
Yeah.
If you start with the chicken, you end up with the chicken.
Yeah. Tell us. Kind of the key there for us, the mastery that we're putting so much effort in, is using the clay oven tandoor with charcoal, which is a natural, you know, there's no temperature gauge. You have to feel it with your arm. You have to f-ing feel it with your soul. Sorry. It's difficult.
That's why we call this
anyway.
Pre-recorded.
Yeah.
We'll clean that up. Folks, these are passionate chefs with dead chickens in their kitchen, in their tandoor. And tandoor is a very ancient kind of a way of cooking. Yeah. I mean, it's a clay cylinder that was filled with either coals or put on coals, and you cook around the inside sides of it. So you have to be careful. And when you say you feel it with your arm, you have to feel it near your arm, because otherwise there could be trouble.
The other beautiful part is we have some random palm trees that are floating around our neighborhood, and so what we do is we take all those abandoned palm fronds and we use that to smoke all of our vegetables, all of our meats as well.
The flavor you were getting, that glaze, was just the smoke and whey, which is what we marinate the meat in, and that's the byproduct from the paneer cheese, so that it's a full circle. But there's nothing, no sugar, no, you know.
Random Palm Fronds is my favorite new rock band. Right? Right? They're appearing nightly at the Cinnabar. I mean, Random Palm Fronds is... I love that.
If you thought he wasn't from California, he's from California.
He's totally, right, we can tell. Well, and you know, it is kind of amazing. People visit me all the time. And if you live in Sonoma County, if you live in Northern California, people from all over the universe want to visit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's
very popular with UFOs and relatives.
Yeah.
And people will be going through farm country and we'll be going to the redwoods and all this. And suddenly there'll be palm trees.
Yeah.
And people will say, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, palms are brought everywhere as a sign of arrival and hospitality and, frankly, colonization.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. This is mine.
Yeah.
Right? And I love that you're collecting random palm fronds and doing a dance and then smoking that chicken.
Yeah.
But the chicken was just crisp and delicious, and it came off the bone but still had integrity and texture and other stuff under it. What was under it?
Underneath it is our house yogurt, pistou.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also we had some porcelain and amaranth sprouts and a little bit of toasted sesames and lime pickle, actually.
Just a few little details. But, you know, all together what they are is a delicious plate of food. We're going to talk more about this delicious foodness at Flower and Bone, where there's passion. And you go all the way from the flower until all the way to the bone. You can chew on the bone, right? And watch out, it will be mixed with a random palm frond and be a whole new dish for brunch. All right, we'll be right back at the table. Welcome back to At the Table. Dahlia Martinez and Jason Sakash. Those are not names that would immediately say to me, this is a combination of chefs and restaurateurs that are going to make a place called Flower and Bone. I mean, it's just, the, you know what I mean? It's just...
Not in the name.
No, it's not, right. You didn't name this after your sister, right? Sure. But when I was tasting a couple of dishes the other night, I really loved all of them. But one of them, the one I scarfed, I believe is a technical term. I mean, I ate it so fast. I was shocked. And the young woman walked by and said, didn't like that, huh? Was a quail stroganoff. And I have to say that my mother was able to cook stroganoff meat long beyond its usefulness in this or any other world. You know what I mean? She could make the most tender beef into a rock. She had a real gift for this. But you use this wonderful little leg and thigh of the quail in a... And the noodles were just delicious, and the sour cream you made yourself. Mm-hmm. Tell us, I mean, yeah. Did I give all the ingredients?
Yeah, but that's how it is. You know, it's just like the chicken with really, it's just the whey and the actual tandoor oven. It's kind of about technique. And for the tasting menu that we call the full story, we always incorporate, or I should say I always incorporate a sort of story in a culinary sense. And so the quail stew stroganoff is the last dish on this current tasting menu. So right. That's sort of the mother anchor for the rest of the menu. It definitely plays off of the liver pate tartine and the smoked potatoes with beet pickle that you didn't necessarily have tonight. But just to sort of say that those flavors kind of are what the whole menu is based on. I really just sort of accidentally made that stew. But I love to make stew and I love to do dumplings. So there's always some kind of a stew dumpling representation.
All right, wait
a
second. I've got to ask you. First of all, folks, we're talking about Flower and Bone. There is a full story, 6-course tasting menu. Mm-hmm. Is it always the same price?
It is always the same
$67.
Price. Yeah.
But there's also an a la carte mezza menu mm-hmm. where you can have individual things and you can come and do that as well.
And sure.
Where did you get your culinary training? Because... you know, the way you talk about technique and what you make and the sensitivity of it didn't come, you know, from mm-hmm. cooking with mom, mm-hmm. certainly not my mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not your mom, Clark, but it really did come from cooking with my mom. I was, you know, barely over a teenager, and for snack, I would come home and make myself crème anglaise, for example. So I was required to cook very young because if we were hungry and we opened the fridge, there was no junk food to eat.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to eat something good and you had a palate like our mother trained us to have, then you made something really
good. And how
good.
Did you learn to make
crème anglaise? I pulled the Joy of Cooking book down and just did it.
And just did it.
So yeah.
In your own kitchen. So it all that stuff in books works.
Yeah. And then just, it really is, you know, basically down to that palate, because once you learn to eat food and taste food, then you really do know how to cook food. And so my mom not only cooked it and made it for us, but like I said, she took us around the world. And I say us as being my whole family, my brother and sister, who also cook. And we got to taste food in Southeast Asia, in China, in Mexico, in Europe. And oh my God, that opened everything up for us.
So what you have are a series of benchmarks. You're not making up the key points. You're reaching out to them. You're leaning into them, really.
Yeah, I think so. And then my passion for sustainability also basically gives it its own style or characteristic.
One of the things I really love is that people from all over the world want to come and cook in Sonoma County because everything grows here. Mm-hmm. You know, for years I would go down to Chez Penny's in mm-hmm. Berkeley, California, mm-hmm. and go up to the cafe and have the seasonal greens with baked goat cheese four different times a year to experience the differences.
Yeah,
and another friend of mine who's a sheep farmer just near Petaluma was doing the same thing, a woman called Mimi Luberman. And one day we were at a farmer's market and we were talking about this and we said, all these greens come from right here. What am I going down to Berkeley and looking for a parking space?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What happens is invariably when I go to the farmer's market here in Sonoma County in the season, I'll buy greens and I don't dress them. I just eat them. You don't need to because they all have flavor.
Yeah.
Right?
Or you just get another green and dress it with that green.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of times the farmers are part of your cooking process, folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will grow a series of greens that go well together. You talk to a farmer at a farmer's market and say, well, what about this one? And what about that one? And they know because people here do eat the food that they grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And definitely, and kind of to go off of the traveling aspect, and that's kind of where Flour and Bone is focusing on. We're focusing on a Central Asian food, which is everything from Eastern Europe all the way over to the stands. And so in between that, you have Turkish, you have Romanian, you have Iranian, you have Russian. And so this is the beginning of the spice trade. This is where women were cooking food, creating recipes forever. And Dolly and I started going over there and really appreciating what was going on. And really what we found is that core flavors are really being represented here. It's there's not much trickery, as you were saying earlier. You know, it's really just focusing on what flavors are already existing and just, you know, exfoliating that and getting that really.
Well, and what you've done is you've combined them with local ingredients in season to give us an experience that doesn't have the kind of heaviness we've always associated with that part of the world, but give us some of the brightness and the intensity. I mean, and the amount of herbs in Iranian Persian cooking is amazing. Yeah. The spices in Georgian food.
Yeah.
I mean, historically, what we've thought of is something bad pierogi or pierogi, and kind of, I don't know, sour borscht. And that's not even close to any of this.
No.
Yeah. But it also has to do, folks, with a very bright and lively growing season and a very bright and lively putting it up in a jar season. You can have a lot of that taste and all the other fresh tastes that go with those tastes. Yeah. When you go to Flour and Bone in Santa Rosa, California, go to Flour and Bone, no, restaurant, flourandbonerestaurant.com, right? Yeah. And go to Flour and Bone. All right, we'll be right back with two people who really do love food right here at the table. We are back at the table. I'm here with Dalia Martinez and Jason Sakash, and we're talking about their two wonderful eating spots, living spots, the Naked Pig, which is brunch in the best sense. All of the seating is communal. All of the cooking is either fresh or baked, which is wonderful because they don't have a hood kitchen. They have, you know, a very modest 300 square feet that feels a lot bigger than their 10 by 10 farmer's market stall. And they have the new Flour and Bone in downtown Santa Rosa, where you have mesas where people could just try a few things here and there if they're, you know, being very casual. Or you have a tasting menu, which you call the full story. And as other restaurants do, you ask everybody at the table to do that so you can time it. But when you serve it, you do it a little bit differently, right? You do it as a kind of for the table service.
Right. Right, yeah, and this seems to be so far really, really terrific because everybody gets to share in the experience of eating the same meal, very much like a, you're at home and you're having friends come. Everybody's experiencing the meal together, and that creates a less of an isolation between people, and it brings more of a communal.
Well, and it's more about the food and the evening together with people rather than the presentation with tweezers of every leaf. I mean, all the food was beautiful, but I like to go to Ad Hoc, which is Thomas Keller's casual restaurant, where everybody gets served family style, one meal on the table, shared, and everybody can be so proud, and they spend a lot of time. Well, they can answer all of your questions about all of it, but you can really enjoy it because it comes to your table of food, whether it's one person or two or four or six, it's served that way.
Yeah.
And you have these beautiful, very one-of-a-kind vessels, which come from where? I mean, the bowls
and
plates.
Well, the vessels I commissioned from a couple of wonderful women. One is Catherine Seek, who is a local artist. She's a very young woman here in Santa Rosa. You know, she's had some considerable recognition for the artwork that she's done. And she started to get into doing clay work, and I thought it would be a growth opportunity for her as well as a accomplishment of a goal to have handmade pottery. So she made a series of dishes, and also Rhonda Lee, who is a professional potter. She's been doing it for 40 years and a regular Naked Pig customer.
I have to tell you, folks, if you don't know that Santa Rosa and actually Sonoma County is legendary for very talented and world-renowned potters out on Armstrong Woods Road. They're the history of the 20s and 30s, and some of the artifacts and some of the traditions are still there. You never know who you're going to run into if you walk over a hill or around a corner or through a stand of trees in Sonoma County. You have no idea what talent is there, right?
If you go out there, you'll find the gnomes and everything.
The gnomes are all there, and they're collecting borage for your next soup. You know, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for what you do, because it's done in a very special way, but in a very easy and accessible way. And we hope that it is an economic model that sustains so that you can be there doing these things. At Naked Pig, folks, and Flour and Bone, flourandbonerestaurant.com, and Naked Pig, Dot com.
Just dot com. In fact, they both connect, so it's wonderful. One or the other will get you both places.
I would be very surprised if they didn't all connect. I mean, I believe that's what it's all about. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Here
Thank
at
you.
The table. Thanks. All right.
It's been so fun.
That was good. Yum.